You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
It's your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world, and we are back where we're supposed to be.
Almost.
Alan Han, Bart Scott, but you know what sucks? It was nice being in the same studio with you for a couple of days.
Man, I got to admit, beautiful blue eyes, man.
It was nice. It was nice being in the same place. I was a little jelly today. You hanging out with Zubin and Jay Will. You know, you get, you know.
Oh, you could have got up at 4 o'clock if you wanted to.
Bigfoot me there. I understand.
You could have got up at 4 o'clock if you wanted to.
That is not happening. And I promise you, even at 4 a.m., it'd probably still take me 2 hours to get into the city. Man, forget about it. What pandemic? Everybody's back out on the roads, no question about it. But still, good for that. Good that we're back in our place. We appreciate our listeners for kind of being patient with us because, you know, we've done the L2R2 throughout this whole year.
Yeah, man.
When it comes to we going from 1 to 3 to 11 to 1, then all of a sudden we disappear for a while, go national as a fill-in for a bit, just helping out as we do.
Just Google it.
And then we're team players.
We are team players. I can't see you anymore because I have a bad signal, so I'm losing your,
can't
your
even
beautiful
look
face.
At you now. See, that's
okay. I'm gonna try a hotspot.
You slipping?
Should I tell people where they can get in because we got a fun show today? Should I tell
we
them?
We do
where
have
they can
a fun. We have a fun show, and we also because we haven't talked to our people in a couple of days. I think we got to go buffet, don't we? Today
we got to go full Golden Corral Old Country Buffet.
I like that. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number, and if you can't get through, Bart, how else can they get us?
They can get us. If they can't get us on the 1-800-919-3776, then guess what? They can get us at the Bart and Han on the tweet. Then if they can't get us on the tweet, guess what? They can get us on Bart and Han on the Grizzam DM Allen exclusively.
No.
And if they can't get us there, I know, Bill, you've been picking scabs all day. I had to go at you a little early in the show.
Dang,
but I know you hate the Jets, but go ahead and tell them anyway, Bill, where they can get us.
Instant chat or whatever it is.
Thank you, Bill.
You did, though. You opened up a can of whoop-ass on him today on KJZ. My word. I mean,
listen,
you've
I'm
been on him,
line
too. You've been on him. Like, it's a week now you've been on him. First you're saying that Bill, the GM, should be fired. Now you're saying that this is it for him. Well, we got a lot to get to on that. And
when
I actually
did I say something wrong? Like, when did I say something wrong? It makes sense. What I'm saying is in an alternate universe, it is a path that could be taken. I'm just saying. They don't pay me and you the big cheese on the taco to give the take that everybody else takes. We're not reading other people's cliff notes. We in our own lane. We just telling you it could happen. So then when it happens, don't at me later and give me my credit. Or give us our credit, because me and you, we like one and the same. I'm the left hand, you the right hand. Shake and
bake.
That's
right. And you know what, too? You talk about credit. You say a lot of things that piss people off, and then like a week later, everybody says it. And it's like, yeah, Bart said that last week. And you were all mad at him. Now you all agree.
Exactly, but so they never say, sorry, Bart.
It is what it is, man. I don't care. I'm just, like, to me, you just say what you see, right? And we've got headlines for you. Let me give you some headlines of what the show's going to be about today. We did play it for you yesterday, but we never really had a chance to break it down. And so we'll go back to the Steve Cohen press conference, and I'll be honest with you. Hung a banner, Met fans. You hung a banner. I got to take you to task for that one. Chris Paul could be on the move, and it's not to the East. But it's still a very interesting team. So we'll discuss that. Houston may have a problem And the Knicks might have an answer. Oh, yeah. We have something to talk about on that front. You like that little
tease? We call that a cliffhanger.
See, when we do national, you learn teases. You learn to set it up a little bit. So, again, there's a lot. There's a lot here to get into, a lot here to dive into. We'll have a Jets guest, we hope, we think. Jay Will going to join us at noon, and we have a lot to break down with him. The Knicks facility closed because of COVID. No players are there. That's all right. Alex Cora back with the Red Sox and Jeff Lunau.
Stop. We got all that in 2 hours?
There's so much.
So we're going commercial free. You saying we're going commercial free because I don't know how we're going to fit all that in there.
For 2 hours. That's all I got because we can't go deep into anything because it's only 2 hours. All right. So, Bart, let's go back to Steve Cohen yesterday. And I'm just going to say it. How low could the bar possibly be? How low could it possibly be for a new owner to step in and have a press conference like he did where he just checked all the boxes? It was audio porn for Mets fans. That's what it was. It's exactly what you do. What do they want? What do they need? I'm going to give them what they want.
I got one closer.
That's what you say all the time, right? It's like, I got to give them what they want. Well, that's what Cohen did. He walked into the club knowing he was walking into a place where it was like all the sailors came in from shore and they haven't seen a female for months. And he just walked in just going, hello, boys. Like, you just give them what they want.
You know,
and that's what he did. And the fans were just giddy about it. Giddy. And he didn't really do anything or say anything. He just did the obvious, which, God bless him, he gets it, and not many owners do.
Already ahead of the game, right? And I was going, because remember when you go in there and you got that treat and you got your dog, you got his attention,
exactly.
And then you just get that
give
treat.
Paul, right, Paul.
Here you go. Here you go, Paul.
Hell
Paul,
yeah.
Lay down, roll over. Here you go, and he fed it right to you. But guess what he did? The smart. Let me tell you, I can tell that this man plays chess, not checkers. No wonder he's been so successful in all his business ventures. He flew the weather kite where? On the tweet. He flew the weather kite.
You're absolutely right.
So he knew exactly what people, he knew exactly what they wanted to hear. He did his research, his opposition research earlier in the week when he flew out the weather kite, and he said, hey, what do you guys want? Tell me what you guys think. And then he fed it to him. He fed it to him, slow fed it to him too. He teased him with it. And right now, man, he's the number one guy in the world. All he has to do is take the same energy and spend a little money, show some progress. He already gave, you know, people their bread, right? Everybody that needed to be fed that's not part of the baseball, they got what they needed to get.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's happy. So now when I want to develop around here, I need these permits ASAP. And I'm going to create jobs, and I'm going to give you guys a winner. And listen, we're going to be the conversation. We're going to be on the back pages. But much like when the Jets became the back pages, you have to sustain it because you have to fulfill your prophecy. You have to fulfill and deliver on your promise. And that promise is that he said that he's going to get to a world title, and he's going to build it organically. He's going to spend money. He said everything that you were supposed to say. Now that's the easy part. The hard part is actually doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's easy to talk about it, but he did the easy thing. And I'll tell you what, not many owners will do the easy thing. They won't. Hal Steinbrenner, to his credit, he doesn't talk a lot, but when you hear him on the K Show, he talks to the fans. You hear his passion, you hear his frustration, you hear it all. Now, he has a corporate side to him where he's going to be careful, and Cohen's going to have to get there eventually. Again, this is easy because he's coming in basically saying, I'm here to clean up this mess by these guys who came before me. That's essentially what he did there. I'm here to clean this thing up because I have a vision. I never got to, you know, he basically equated being a minority owner to being a season ticket holder. Like, yeah, I have no power. I couldn't do anything. But
he's
I've seen
enough.
He's
sitting in the corner, raising his hand like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen enough to know what I want to do. And that's what I'm going to do what I want to do now. Let's see if it works. All that's great.
This,
but Met fans, please do me a favor. Don't hang a banner. You know, this is not, like, press conference championships don't count.
Right.
All you had was now you've got a guy who gets it. Let's go there. He gets it. Now let's see if he really can put it together, put a plan to practice, and make it work. And by the way, let me be the dude that dumps the cold water on this for a minute. Understand this. The Dodgers had an ownership change in 2012. And they had a bad owner before that in Frank McCourt. Terrible owner. And they were a middling team as well. They were second place, third place, 80 wins. Like, you know, they were right there. And the Guggenheim Group comes in, and they've got a lot of good people, a couple of good baseball people. I know one of them pretty well. And they took over. 8 years later, they finally win a World Series. 8 years. Now, were they very good, very competitive for many of those years? Yeah. Yeah, they were. A very competitive team. They got to a couple of World Series as well, couldn't win the big game. But the problem is it's 8 years. When you tell me 3 to 5, you're setting yourself up. This could take time. This could happen in 2 years. Anything can happen. It all depends on how guys develop and how well you spend the money. The idea that you can't buy a championship also, that's ridiculous. Money doesn't buy championships. It absolutely does.
Tell the Dodgers.
It absolutely does. So you have to also understand that I now need to see what moves you're going to make. This lineup has a ton of holes on them. Ton of holes. But don't hang a banner for your press conference championship. What you do is celebrate the fact that you've got now somebody that has the money and has the passion to now get this franchise where it needs to be. And that's what you want. That's the best part. But now, put it to practice, put it to work. And understand that it's not an overnight thing. But you know what? I will say this. Welcome back to baseball, Mets fans.
Yes.
You're back in the league.
The national conversation, baby. We ain't going to the ATM no more. We ain't got no limit. We going to the vault. Come on with those people, Boris. And listen, this is what I tell you, man. Listen, just the fact that, you know, the energy around here, this is what people have been waiting for. I mean, they always say, hey, tell the Johnsons to sell, tell the Wilpons. Well, guess what? You got the owner that you want. So listen, don't complain. Don't go off the bandwagon fast. It's not going to be it may be smooth, it may not. But understand that the guy's going to put things in place. And how frustrated do you think that he was knowing that, you know, they had a Commodore 64 in the back, and he was a guy who made all his money with analytics. And even though he was a minority owner, he still had access to some of the best analytical people in the world, and he could have gave the Wilpons that if they would have asked for it, or right. Maybe gave him a little bit of more of the ownership group. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine how frustrated he was sitting in the back knowing that he had, you know, a key component that could really help them take it to the next level, and they never wanted to tap in because they were so arrogant about it being about them that they didn't want to have to share the credit with a minority owner who could have been a tremendous asset to them. You know how frustrating that has to be? Like, hey, I can help you. I can help. No.
But Bart,
sit in the corner, be quiet.
I'm going to tell you what, though. The hardest thing for anybody to do, especially a new leader, I know he's not an owner, but Leon Rose is trying to do the same thing with the Knicks. Yeah. Not as an owner, but he's pretty much at that ownership level. I mean, he's at the very top of the organization, and he's trying to do the same thing. It's so hard to clean the stink out of a franchise that has had it for so many years, where everyone just expects it. They expect you to operate a certain way. They expect you to always kind of fall back to that person you were. You know, like when they say, like, you know, when you come out of the neighborhood and they say, you know, you can come out of the neighborhood, but the neighborhood can't come out of you.
Yep.
You know, something wherever you're from, like, it just sort of like you always will go back. You'll resort to who you really are. And that's how you just wait for it. Oh, they're going to do something stupid. They always do. Oh, something bad's going to happen because it always does.
Yep.
That's what you wait for. And so what Cohen has to do is fumigate that place.
Yep.
And it's not easy. It doesn't happen overnight. It does take time. And people are waiting for that stuff to happen. But like, here's an example, and I know you're going to love this. You remember Marcus Stroman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Marcus Stroman was like now all of a sudden, you know, pleading his case to Yankees fans about how he'd be a great fit with the Yankees. Marcus Stroman then tweeted yesterday. My man Mace sent me this. Thank you, Mace. Appreciate you. Karate man. He said, after watching the presser, I'm beyond excited to play for you, sir.
Wow.
I could feel the excitement and passion you're going to bring daily. Let's go be great.
We're in three different places.
And he added them, too.
We're in three different places. Please, wherever you are, Anthony, I can't see you. I'm in this little box. I feel like the wall's closing in. I feel like I'm in a panic room. Give him the gas face.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Stroh's like, Stroh's all over the place. You know what Stroh is right now? I love him because he's from Long Island. This is Stroh. Stroh's the guy that was like in a relationship that he wasn't really thrilled about. And then he saw some other chick. He's like, hey, baby, what's up? And then all of a sudden his girl come around and all of a sudden maybe she's got like she won the lottery, right? And now he's all like, hey, baby. Hey, baby. We good, right? We good? Like, and oh, meanwhile, like, and then the other chick, she's going like, wait a minute, weren't you just talking to me? No, I gotta go.
Or he's like you in college, right? You go in there, you talking to every chick in there, then you upgrade, and then the first chick that you talk to, because the other chicks went home with somebody else, and you come back there, and she's like, mm-mm.
Right, exactly.
Oh, now you want to come back to me. No, what about Felicia? What about Kim? What about Tanya? No. So I'm the consolation prize? No, my God. I'm good. We good.
I love it, Stro. You're the best.
I think it just went through. Did it just flash that Strowman took the qualifying offer? I swear I just saw something. Like I told you, I'm in a panic room, man. I'm getting stuff so late. I thought I just saw he took the qualifying
offer.
That
is today. You're right. That is today.
I think he just took it, man. It just went on a little bleacher.
Did it really? I got to go find that now because I'm busy.
I'm stuck in a panic room, man.
What we do also have to keep in mind, obviously, today being November 11th.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Pops.
Okay, he is accepting.
Can't wait.
Tim Healy reporting that he does accept. So.
See, I didn't know if that was from
Yankees
like...
fans, never mind. I'm going to stay with my girl. I'm good.
I didn't know if this was from like yesterday because
it
like
was
I tell you...
you, baby.
Like I try to tell everybody, I am literally in a closet, you know what I'm saying, over at ESPN Studios. So yeah. I don't know, like, when stuff come in, I don't know if it's text messages from yesterday, today, because it's no...
What happened to all the sunlight?
Is it really that bad?
You can see me, right? You looking at me, right? Look at this. I'm touching both sides of the wall right now. My arms aren't even fully extended.
I just saw that, yeah. I can't see you, though, because it's on pause. You must be texting somebody while you're doing the show.
Are you running
like one of your seven businesses in the midst of this segment right now?
No, you know how to do JKZ. Is it? Yeah, JKZ.
Anonym.
I don't know. So I'm over here in the closet, man. Like for real, they say, hey, man, you go in the booth,
Nobody puts Bart in the closet.
I'm trying to get them to pump oxygen into the room because I'm scared, man. I'm starting to get claustrophobic. Like I'm taking an MRI.
800-919-3776 is the number. Let's get some calls here. Let's go with Val in the Bronx. Start us off, Val.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I'm trying to catch my breath. That last, y'all got me going gas face and all, y'all. Good morning. I got a couple of points I want to make, and one of them has to do with the Knicks. But before I get into that, I'm going to go with the Mets first. I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh, here we go.
And I find it interesting, okay? I'm one of those that gets this across the table from the others in my family that are Mets fans. Yankees buy this. We buy mistakes. We buy this. We buy the other. We buy up the league. We buy championships. It's funny how now when Mets fans feel like they got money, all of a sudden that kind of philosophy is all good. And the second point I want to make, and Alan, I'm very interested to get your opinion on this one. Because the one thing out of it that, as a Knicks fan, makes me feel a little bit hopeful is that for years I've been part of the people that are saying, like, you know, maybe it's time to move past Dolan. But you can't move past the owner. You know, we all know that it's like he owns the team. It's his. Unless he decides to move on,
that's right.
What do you do? But we're actually seeing this happen with the Mets. And this is an example of possibly what you being on the inside, Alan. If you know anything, if there's a minority owner or something like that that's connected to the Knicks,
no.
That can hopefully change our situation, man. And Mets fans, just be careful.
There's no Steve Cohen in that situation.
Leanna Rolls is changing your situation.
Yeah,
that's going to change your situation.
It's going to have to go that way. And I knew a lot of Knicks fans would go here because if it's not going to be about James Dolan, it's going to be about Woody Johnson, right? I mean, if you think about fans that have frustrations with their owners, I mean, those are the guys that people talk about. The Wilpons were on that list as well. And I'll tell you what I would do is say, take an example. I mean, what Steve Cohen did was he went out to the bleachers and sat with the Seven Line Army. That's literally what he did. Now, I know Brody tried that, right? He was trying to connect as well, but this guy actually sat in the stands. He went to games. He had popcorn. He had Cracker Jacks, right? He watched games. He scored games. Like, he can relate. There's something about that that is compelling from an ownership standpoint. It makes your customer feel like, this guy gets me. I've always said this, Bart. When you're an owner and you take for granted your diehards because, well, they'll always be here. We don't have to really sell them. We've got to buy. We've got to sell to other people.
Your day one.
But I've always said, right, your day ones, your P1s, like Kay always says. But those guys, to me, those are the ones that if you treat them so well that they are fiercely loyal to you, even through the worst of times, you know what happens? You start to become that club that people want to get into, and they don't even know why. Man, everybody's just so happy there. Well, I want to be part of that. You know what I mean? Like, when you see the loyal fans treated like gold, and I mean gold, you become, from the outside, someone that goes, man, they love that team. They're so happy with that team. Like, that's something I want to be part of, and it draws people in. So instead of taking them for granted, man, they'll always be here, these suckers. Instead of doing that, you take care of your diehards, and you'll be amazed how that permeates. And all of a sudden, it resonates. And then you'll see the base grow, your customer base grow. That's the, to me, that's the secret sauce of being an owner, especially in New York.
Facts. Again, I'm with you when you're right. You know I'm with you when you're right.
That's what you got. Facts.
Really?
They wore you out on KJZ, didn't they?
No, man. I'm jacked up on my boo, man.
I give you a passionate take, and you go, fact.
Because, listen, I was trying to work on my, give him high, give him low. You know what I'm saying? I was just high to step and just talking about him in the panic room, and he said he was laughing. Then I was like, let me break it down. We'll stop, because I knew he was about to go to our first break. I want the guys to get on the line. This is the buffet. We starting with Cohen, but we got a lot more to serve for you, baby. That's just the appetizer, baby. We ain't even got to the entree yet, and we going back for seconds.
And we got better? Calls.
Was that better?
A little bit better.
All right, my bad. I can step it up. Footprints, you carried me that whole first segment. Appreciate you, buddy.
I got to have a talk with those guys in the morning show. You woke up early. You're a little tired. I'm going to need you to get, I need you to get.
Listen, I got bubbles on my damn screen.
I need you to get some Mountain Dew or a little Frappuccino, something.
Well, I'm over here. You know, they got money over here.
You got that beautiful medallion on again.
It's a Seamoss. I'm looking at.
What's the shirt, by the way? I couldn't see the shirt this morning on TV. What is
this
shirt?
This is a baby Bambi. This is a baby Bambi.
And what's it say?
The porcelain Bambi. What does it say right here? It says, they do not love that they do not show there's love. I don't know, man. It's one of those weird things. It's like the ape thing I got the
album. Really?
With the unicorn horn coming through.
Now, so it's like the same phrasing. In New Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. Is that official or is there a date for that? Because I have a feeling you might have broken a law.
Partake. Listen, I told you like when I went to Amsterdam, it had no effect. I think I'm immune.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. We'll have to test that theory. Road trip. I'm like in that place now where I find things that remind me of the past. Everybody knows that I bathe in nostalgia, like 80s, 90s music, movies, movie lines, all that stuff. Like, that's just what I'm about. And I found the car I had in the 90s.
Ooh, I see it.
Now, you got it?
Yep.
84 Firebird, T-tops, this thing, man.
Go buy one.
I love this car. It almost killed me. It was my Christine. It was my Eleanor. It almost killed me on the Merritt Parkway one time in a snowstorm.
Check this out.
My buddy Robbie. I grew up with this dude. Great guy. Salt of the earth. Right? Love him. He's a mechanic, and he had like this gigantic toolbox with it was 100 pounds, and he had nowhere to store it. And you know, in the Firebirds, it has like that deep well back hatch area, and so he would leave it there. I let him leave it there. And the best part is that it weighted down the back of the car. So for me, in bad weather, that car was insane in bad weather. Insane. Like, I always would laugh. Like, man, I could drive this thing in a snowstorm. It's unbelievable. The traction's incredible. Never really thought about why. One time, he's like, oh, yo, I need my toolbox. So he came and got it. He took it out. We had a bad snowstorm. I'm up on the Merritt Parkway, and I hit a patch of ice, and I'm done. Like, I was pretty close. Like, really, honestly, pretty close. I was almost gone. Went into a ditch the whole nine.
Wow.
And I'm like, how? Like, what happened? And then it dawned on me. The damn toolbox wasn't there. The
toolbox.
Had no traction. None. So, anyways, that was the end of that car for me. It was gone. I didn't have it. And I miss it ever since. And so, Bart, I'm feeling like, get to that midlife crisis part, and you're a guy that knows his cars.
Yeah.
You're a big swap meet guy, right?
Yeah, we can call Chip Foose.
Can we find the 84 Firebird black T-top?
That's easy, bro. We can find that. I would probably not go to Barrett because Barrett costs too much money.
We
can go to Meekum, and you'll probably get that thing for about $15,000, $12,000, bro. Straight up. And let somebody else do all the work. Because what happens is they do all the work, you never get it back. Because of the labor hours that you have to get to get it back. And then people get tied up and they lose their value.
To get this thing right, too, because I mean, I don't want to buy this thing as a junk box.
You go to Mecum. Mecum is going to look, it's going to be perfect. But what happens is you never get the money that you put back for the labor that you paid for it, right? So you pay all the money to the person that buys it when you get tired of it and they put it in like an 84 Firebird, that's probably going to go for like $12,000-$15,000, but it's going to be perfect. Let's do it. We're going to go out to Indiana.
When the pandemic's over,
we're going to go to Mecum.
That's nice of you. That'd be a great birthday gift for me, Bar. You're the best.
Huh? No, we're going to lease it.
Let's see. So, a couple answers I've gotten here so far. Somebody sent me like a little AMC Pacer, which screams confidence. You're very sure of your manhood if you drive an AMC.
Amazing.
Plymouth Sundance, an 87 Plymouth Sundance.
My mom used to have
somebody
one.
Somebody put a VW bus. Remember those old VW buses from back in the 70s?
But those are vintage, though, man. You get one of those redone because of the windows and all the glass. Cost you about $100,000.
So it's on my Twitter right now, the picture of the car that I absolutely just, I miss it like an old
Honda.
Another guy put DeLorean.
Ooh, see, I hated those. Those are like a
You know
a
how hard it is to get it out of a DeLorean?
Yeah,
I had an i8, you know, the BMWs?
Yeah.
It was impossible to get in and out of that thing.
Yeah.
Impossible.
And it looks like a Lamborghini. I'm not a Lamborghini guy. It's like really blocky and stuff like that. But I did like the stainless steel. That was dope, though. It was ahead of its time. It was like the Tesla of its time.
The flux capacitor was pretty nice, too. The fact that I could go back in time was nice. Were they all equipped with that, or was that a special package that you got?
Yeah, you had to have the Marty McFlys on. You know, to be able to do that, the laceable shoes.
Maybe 800-993-7776 is the number. Let's see. Let's grab We in Brooklyn. What's up, We?
We the people.
Yo, what's up, huh? What's up, Bart? Love
you,
man. I love not dudes, man.
Appreciate it.
Yo, huh, man? You my guy. I've been messing with you since you was solo at nighttime, holding it down at the night,
sir.
But
he's in arranged marriage
this
now.
This is for my guy. This is for my guy, Bart Scott, man. It's like a real personal call because you my guy, Bart. I'm a Jets fan, unfortunately, right now, but, you know, on the glory days, 2010, unfortunately, I was out in Pittsburgh, but I was in a penitentiary out there.
Wow.
And when you were talking at the end of that game, man, like, you have no idea, my dude, how much that uplifted me, how much hope y'all, it made me feel like y'all was coming to visit me, man, like... It's crazy, man. Like, and I was thinking about it last week, how y'all was talking about how much hope, like, a team could give to a city. Like, you know what I'm saying? And how much it could bring people together, man. Like, I was at a real dark place. I was at a real down place, man. But for them few weeks, man, I think y'all ran through Indianapolis, you know what I mean? Ran through Patriots, and y'all came to Pittsburgh, man. And in Pittsburgh, in the cell, you know, like, a little bit over $200. You can get a little, they give you a TV in your cell. Like, it's crazy, man. I know it sounds crazy, but you get the TV in the cell. So I was tuned in, man. And
oh, man, we let you down. Damn it, Shoddy, we let him down.
Nah, ain't let me down, man. I mean, the first half, I was a little tight. I was tight, you know what I'm saying? But y'all might have did me a favor because the way them COs move in Pittsburgh, man, honestly, if the Jets would have won, I probably would have been in the hole or something, man. I was a Jets fan, and I wasn't hollering it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, and they knew I was a Jets fan, but it wasn't really, you know, it was like competition. Like, at the end of the day, we all people, even though I was where I was. It's just mad love, man. Bart, I respect you, my dude. And you know, life is short. I always say I'm a call, but life is short, man. I just wanted to give you your flowers while you were alive, man. I appreciate y'all, man.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you giving a call, man. I'm glad that you remind us just the power we have, man, to try and just put a little joy in our lives, man. Because life is short, man, and it's full of ups and downs. And, you know, one thing I love about sports is it brings people together, man. It brings people from every different race, religion, ethnic, you know, economic class. And, you know, we just can sit down and just enjoy our teams, man. And, you know, that's what this is all about. And that's why I love doing radio, because it gives me a platform to be able to connect with people in which I feel like I was a part of their lives, man, whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I hope at this point we can, you know, find something to laugh about. I'm glad that you're out, and I'm hoping, you know, life finds you well right now, man. And I wish you continued success as well.
Yeah, and we want to also hear from you more often, too. Like, we appreciate that call and you taking us into your life a little bit. That's great. And I'll tell you what, I could also see that situation. You remember in Hoosiers where the dad shooter was in the psych ward, and he was going nuts, and they had to tie him up.
Yeah.
Like, you could see something like that where he was just too fired up about that. So that's a great story. I love that, man. We do have other things to get to on our show, including audio files.
The audio file.
All right, so, Bart, we were just talking about this with Jay Will at the very end, because you were making a big deal about this on the show this morning when you were on with KJZ, and that involves Bill Belichick. And I referenced him talking on his weekly show on WEEI about his departure from the Jets, which, you're a Jets fan, you know all about the napkin and the, you know, resign as HC of the NYJ. Now, no one has that napkin, right? Like, have you ever heard a story about the napkin? Like, is that thing gone, or a piece of paper, whatever it was?
You know, that thing oxidized unless they laminated that quick.
Like, how did you, like, somebody must have thrown it out because they were mad, but now you think about it, what that would be worth right now? A stupid napkin. It's like Garrett Cole's sign. Why don't you just fake it and, like, make one? Just say, yeah, this is the napkin. This is the one.
This is how it ages. No, for real, I'm serious.
I believe Garrett Cole.
It's oxidation.
Yeah. Anyways, if you're a Jets fan, this is only going to make you hate Bill even more. As he talks about how leaving the Jets was one of the best moments of his career.
One of the not only most defining, but one of the great moments of my career. And that combined with Robert giving me the opportunity to come here, I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything more. So it's just, that wasn't a good situation for me, and I didn't want to be part of it, so I wasn't. But the other half of that was Robert giving me the opportunity to come here and trading. I mean, he gave up, you know, quite a bit to get me to come here. That was a big trade. And so I'm very thankful that it worked out.
Yeah, it was a first-round pick.
Yeah, so he had buyer's remorse, right? Because, he accepted the job, and then he deceived us, and now he continues to just, I don't know who I'll hate worse, him or Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning only went back to school, but then he gave us Adam Gase.
Peyton Manning definitely
Peyton's
had.
Up there.
Like, if
Peyton's
you had to power rank people that destroyed the Jets, like, people that have single-handedly just, like, have done a lot of damage to this franchise, I would probably say that Peyton Manning would have to be number one. Wouldn't you say?
Peyton Manning, Bill, and then McCagney, because I cannot believe
that he did not take
Mahomes because
who are you missing? Who should be third? Come on now, Bart. What is the first memory of my sports fandom where I actually felt hatred as a child?
Oh, when they wet the fill up and all that stuff, the little mud bowl?
Yeah, who would that be?
Was that Shula?
Yeah, that'd be Don Shula.
Yeah, Don Shula.
Rest in peace.
Bill's trying to pass. Bill's trying to pass Shula.
Yeah, yeah. Don Shula is number three because he stole a championship. He took the ring right off my finger.
Yeah,
like this is the first time I actually was angry. How could they play on that field? How could how could the league allow that?
Yep.
Because it was Don Shula. That's why.
God rest his soul.
Destroyed that.
But his stakes was overrated.
Anyways, that's Bill Belichick. And look, I understand what he's saying. Best moments of his career because what it turned into. I don't know if that's exactly a shot at the Jets as much as it is.
No,
but you understand, look what it turned into. All right, fine. So you say Bill Belichick should leave after this season, that you could see it happening. This could be his final year. Mike Tannenbaum, how about this? This is from New York Game Day. Now, this is from Sunday or a couple of Sundays ago, right, on our Sunday show, New York Game Day.
Okay.
Mike Tannenbaum, Mike T, talking about where Bill Belichick could end up. Listen to this.
I have speculated for a long time that Coach Belichick was going to end his career with Washington because that's where he's from. His dad, who he revered, coached and scouted at Navy for over 50 years. There's the Steve Belichick football library at the Naval Academy. So I could see it happening one day. I could see it happening in the NFC East, but I always thought if Coach Belichick, and it is a big if, obviously, but if he ever did it, I always thought he would go back to that area of the country.
Now, Bart, I'll say
call
this.
Call him that, crazy. Say he doesn't know what he's talking about. Everybody wants to come at this guy.
That's an interesting one, but I don't know if that's a franchise that he would work for and an owner that he would want to work for, right?
Exactly.
But I'll tell you the one, and Jay kind of slid it. He just said it and, like, dropped it and didn't really get back to it. And I was like, whoa, you can't just say the Giants. And the Giants have always been that team that sort of lingered around Bill Belichick. And will he ever, when it's all said and done,
that's
could you see
team.
Him back with that franchise where it kind of all began for him? So listen, now we don't have the audio of it, but I'm going to read for you. Joe Judge, this is a while back. He did an interview with Mike Tirico. And he said this about what he knew about Bill Belichick and his feelings for the Giants. He said this, quote, "You could tell there was a different feeling talking about the Giants for him than other conversations about other teams and other topics along the way." He said he was very complimentary of the fan base, the passion of the city. He loved this town with Coach Parcells and the great players they had back then. He had a great relationship with the ownership as well. So when we talked through the entire process, now this is about Joe Judge being hired, he said everything was extremely positive, and you could kind of tell he had more than just memories here. A lot of connections and relationships that meant a lot to him. So you wonder if he does move on. I'm not going with Washington. I think the Giants make a lot of sense, especially because Joe Judge is there, and he's already got a relationship there, but also because it means so much to him. You agree?
Alan, this is exactly what I said this morning on the show, and people looked at me like I was crazy. They threw the slings and arrows, you know what I mean, at me. But that's okay. I'm just going to take those slings and arrows
because I think I just did
that I'm on to something.
What
you know what I'm saying?
You.
Well, you threw me the, ooh, you gave me the, you gave me the opportunity to say that's exactly what the hell I said.
Right.
Because, listen, it's less stress to be a general manager than it is to be anything else. We know that you can go on your own schedule. You can work remotely, and you don't have to deal with the daily rigors and the daily grind of being a head coach. You know, and you can come back and you can still make sure that somebody's good, because you may not believe that he's good with Dave Gettleman at the helm. And you may say, you know what? I know what this kid needs. I know what he's trying to get accomplished. Guess what? Because I help mold the way he sees the game. So let me come over here and get everything right and bring some cachet back to this once proud organization and help get it back to prominence. And then I'm going to go fishing for the rest of my life. I'm going to do this for like 5 years. And I'm go fishing.
Kind of interesting. Kind of interesting.
Not just old. I'm old as hell.
Just keep an eye on that.
I'm eating Subway, so I'm TikTok.
About that. All right. Don't be a hater. This is another interesting headline out of the NFL that we haven't gotten to, and I really want to get your take on it. Adam Schefter, this is from NFL Live, as he's reporting how the owners have approved expanded playoff, but also new minority hiring incentives.
The NFL owners approved a new playoff plan if necessary, if more games have to be canceled in the second half of the season. We're coming up to a time here where some teams are done with their buys, and the league doesn't have the scheduling flexibility that it did have in, say, September. And so under the new plan, there will be 8 teams in each conference that go to the playoffs. 2 more teams were added. If games had to be canceled and they had to change up the format, that's one bit of news from the owners' virtual call today. The other is that the owners approved a plan that any team that develops minority coaching candidates or a minority general manager candidate and has that candidate hired by another team will be awarded with back-to-back compensatory third-round draft picks.
How about that? You're rewarded for developing a minority candidate who gets hired by another team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good call, but, you know, it's not going to be as many compensatory picks as you would think, because you say, oh, well, it's a lot of black minorities in the league, but some of those guys are already proven commodities, whether it's Leslie Frazier, whether it's Todd Bowles. I mean, do you give Tampa a third-round draft pick for developing Todd Bowles? No, Todd Bowles is already head coach. So I think it's a start, and I think it's a lot better than putting the pressure on having to hire a coach, you know, immediately to get those compensations, because then you start looking at, you know, is the African-American being used as a lame duck? And nobody wants a job strictly because of the color of their skin. They just want an opportunity and don't want the color of their skin to be something that holds them back and prevent them from getting a job. But what we're talking about is a developmental type of program where you coming in, you giving guys opportunity to come in as grad assistants. They'll come in fresh off the field. You look at a guy like Hines Ward, that's a wide receivers coach with the Jets. He started his coaching career with them. If he continues to get better, Deuce McAllister, guys like that. I don't think it's for the Todd Bowles or the former.
I don't think coaches. It's. Yeah, I think I get it.
But you know they'll try. Guys. You know they'll try that loophole. Though, I'm telling you. Well, teams like, hold on, with Todd Bowles left, I want my third.
I get it, but am I wrong to say this though? It kind of feels sad that it's come to that.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like we have to give you draft pick. Like we have to give you something to want to develop a candidate. Like you know. Like, shouldn't it just? Why does there have to be an incentive for this? Like,
it should be.
That's what we do. We've got a guy; he's pretty smart. We want to teach him the way, and maybe one day he'll run our organization. That just should be the way to do it. Instead of now, we're going to do it because I want to get these draft picks. So let's turn this guy into something.
Yeah, and it should be for everybody. It should be for men, women. It should be for all minorities. It should be equal opportunity. But you know, that's just the way it is. Like you know, what I mean, we just want to have access to opportunities, and this is one way to incentivize, but that's kind of where we are, you know, because, you know, a lot of times owners want, you know, want people
a certain
that,
look.
Yeah,
I know what you're going to say.
There are
certain franchises that feel like they have to have a certain look out in front in certain markets.
And I've always been told that greatness comes in every shape and size.
I agree.
So you can't look at somebody from the exterior and think what they have inside and what they're capable of doing. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. That's why sometimes you look on, even on our platforms, you don't see a lot of overweight players being able to have opportunities. You don't see a lot of offensive linemen getting head coaching jobs. You don't see a lot of centers, you know, in basketball getting head coaching jobs, right? Because they just always assume with the false narrative that the point guards and the quarterbacks are the ones that can think
Patrick
the game.
Ewing always said that about centers too, big men. Yeah, he always said that. The perception is we're just big dumb guys. But
exactly.
You know, he's trying to break that mold certainly as well. It's amazing. We won't hire a 300-pound offensive lineman because we think that might look weird on a podium, but we'll hire a guy with crazy eyes. Or we'll hire a guy with a weird mustache and an oversized
and a big suit.
That's cool though. We're okay. Jim Tom Sue, the guy who farts at the podium. We're gonna hire that guy though.
That was never
worry
confirmed.
About what this other guy
confirmed.
Looks like. Come on, man.
That was never confirmed.
All right, last but not least, Steve Cohen yesterday introduced as the owner of the Mets, and Mets fans were excited. He said all the right things. He checked all the boxes. He was so relatable. It was refreshing. But there was one, I think, slip up. One. It's when he talked about his goal for winning a World Series.
Only one team wins the World Series every year, right? So that's a pretty high bar. But if I don't win a World Series in the next 3 to 5 years,
yikes,
you know, I'd like to make it sooner, then you know, obviously, you know, I would consider that slightly disappointing.
All right.
That's what's up.
He softens it up at the end there, but is this going to come back to haunt him?
I don't think so. I think that puts pressure, and that puts everybody on notice, and it raises the expectations. It started with Stroman being able to take the qualifying offer. Now, if they go out and get Trevor Bauer, go get Springer, or they spend a little of that money, because he does have a lot of players that are homegrown and developed. Now it's time to go out and get the hired assassins. You know, you got Cespedes out of the building. You know, we were stuck with Cano, but let's see what we can go out and get and see, like, if this team is 3 or 4 players away and you continue to build your farm system. But being able to build around analytics and build around guys that are all bought into the way that they want to win. It's the same thing that happened with the Dodgers. The Dodgers got the new ownership group. It took them about 5 years, right? They had a bunch of disappointing seasons where they got to the postseason. They did well, but they just couldn't get over the hump. They got over the hump this year, and it took about 5 years. Maybe the Mets can be in the same, you know, situation or win earlier.
Actually, it took them 8 years, my man. It took them 8 years.
Well,
yeah, no, it's all right. It took them 8 years from the ownership change to win a championship. Didn't mean it took them 8 years to get to a World Series, though.
First year don't count. Yeah, how long did it take them to get a World Series?
Yeah, no, they were competing for championships, but to actually win it, it did take 8. Hey, look, I welcome it because I think this guy gets it, and it'll be very fascinating to see what he can do with this team and what it does to baseball, not just in the league, but to me, what it does to baseball here in New York.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
And we're going a little Maction tonight, baby. And we got a couple of good ones here. So, Bart, here's what we're going to do. Because I think the Mac is a lot of fun to play. Last week, there were a couple of blowouts, and they were easy to predict, but they made the endings fun because there was one, I think it was the Buffalo, Buffalo Northern Illinois
game.
They
played yesterday, right?
It came pretty close. Yeah. Believe it or not, Tuesday night. But last week, Buffalo Northern Illinois was it got dicey for a minute, but we still ended up covering. So that's one of the games. Northern Illinois, we're gonna go back to the well because I just feel like Northern Illinois is gonna get blown out again. Central Michigan is at Northern Illinois, and I'm Central Michigan is actually, even though they're home. I mean, I'm sorry, even though they're on the road, they are favored by 7.5. I'm gonna take it. So Central Mich, all right, we're going with the Compass schools today, by the way, using the Compass. So Central Michigan, and that's the one game. Meanwhile, Kobe Lewis, their running back, beast.
Thanks,
anybody
Mo.
Named Kobe, you got to believe in him.
Yeah, he's probably from Detroit.
So, yeah. So the other game is a big game in the West Division. It's wide open in the MAC, baby. Yeah, you don't know who's going to win. And this is a big game. Western Michigan at home. Mm. They are playing Toledo. And this is an 8 o'clock game on ESPN, by the way. So you can watch some action tonight if you want to.
Western Michigan is always pretty good. That's where that guy Plaque came from, right?
They are a tough team. So I'm going Western Michigan.
Mm, good call.
And I'm taking I'm giving the 2.5 points. It's 2.5, I mean, it's, you know, please.
It's a pick.
So I'm going there. Toledo ain't coming into my building and win. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're out. Man.
That's a big game in the division. Western Michigan wants to hold. And so that's where we're going. So we're going the directional. We're going the compass schools. Western Michigan, 2.5. Central Michigan, given 7.5. Done. Time for some action. And that's basically it for our show today. I appreciate all the responses to my Firebird tweet. Because I love the 84 Firebird. Bart's going to get me for my 50th birthday. He's the man.
Yeah, we're going to try that. Now,
black, by the way. Black
Ketos. Triple black.
And people are like talking about, oh, now I know what kind of kid you were if you had an 84 Firebird.
Yeah, man.
How dare you?
Probably had a mullet. You had a strong mullet.
I might have had a mullet.
On fire.
I might have had a base cannon. Might have had a lot of things. But I don't have that car anymore. I
walk around the moose knuckle shorts.
I need you back tomorrow, Bart. Great job. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.